Welcome to another episode of Life with Leigh. Transformational conversations with people that are inspiring for both the mind, the body, and the spirit. Today's guest is Brother Nico. We met over in Ibiza a few weeks ago at Sacred Sons Immersion, and we've just been in contact and been speaking a lot about our journeys and our stories. And Nico's an inspirational man who is deep in men's work alongside a lot of other things, an entrepreneur, an adventurer, facilitator. And today I'm going to dive into more about the man that Nico is, a bit more about his story as well. The question that we're really pondering today is why we should seek discomfort. And that is a question which we're going to speak around and speak to. But before diving into that, Nico, tell us, who are you and what inspires you?
Firstly, Leigh, thank you so much for the introduction. Although it's only been 2 weeks, it's been an absolute pleasure to get to know you, brother, and just to understand that there's more incredible, beautiful men that all share the same journey that we're on. So thank you for having me today as well. So the question, who am I? I am Nico, everybody. I live in Ibiza. I moved here 9 years ago. I used to live in Australia until one very strong morning here in Ibiza, actually, when I was on holidays here. I woke up and it was just like I had the fist or the hand of God just slapped me from left and right and says, you know, you have two decisions. Continue to be a slave to shame and guilt, deeply connected with your masculinity. Although at that time, I didn't really know. It was more of just like a toxic sort of a head slap. Or take another option, because there is another option. A few days after, I was continuing my party days in Las Vegas. So it was a week in Ibiza with my best mates from Australia and then a week in Vegas to continue that. And on day three, four, I was speaking to my now ex-wife, but now my best friend and soul sister, Madlena. She said, Nico, like this depression and whatever it is that you're talking about, you're coming down. It's like, it sounds like you just want to be able to call yourself a resident of Ibiza, to be able to live in Ibiza. And I said, that's the truth. I said, and she said, well, I said, yeah, but babe, we've got the house and the business and a dog. And she says, none of that is stopping you. If you want to wake up tomorrow morning saying, guess what? I live in Ibiza. If you don't do it, it's only because you don't want to do it. There's a part of you that doesn't want to do it. And in that time, I was like, wow, I finally can receive that and understand what that means. So literally three days after waking up with a very sorry hangover here in Ibiza, as the saying goes, no, how does it say? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Ibiza didn't kill me, but I just said, you know, you're welcome back with a shift in consciousness. And that's exactly what I did. So 18 months after that particular phone call, whilst I was victimizing over a shitty breakfast in Las Vegas restaurant, I moved to Ibiza, and it really has been a incredible 9 years, not just an introspective work, but then a deep dive into the men's work, which started about 2 years ago or so. And the whole takeaway from that is I've suffered hours and hours and hours and days and days and months as a man with so much shame and guilt related to not just who I am, but to my male blueprint. You know, you're not allowed to cry. Don't be a pussy. Don't hang out with girls. You need to make the top football team. Your body needs to look a certain way. It's like it just does not stop. And with all of this, we didn't realize that we are so disconnected from our sense of self-worth. We are so powerless that it's impossible for us to be happy. And here we are trying to change that.
Here we are. Thank you, Brother Nico. You know, I didn't actually know that about you, you know, that journey of, you know, traveling to Ibiza and kind of getting the signal, getting the signs. Right. And sometimes, you know, there's something you spoke to, which sometimes we've got to fucking hit that real rock bottom, that kind of place where we've got to make a really difficult decision. You know, that Carl Jung quote, that which we seek is often where we least want to look. Sometimes the biggest thing we need in our life is fundamentally the most gut-wrenching decision. Like you in that moment said, I've got to turn up what my life, what I've created in Australia, you know, the job that I've built, etc. Many men, many women, many people would have said, no, it's too difficult. It's easier to just stay. It's easier. It's just more comfortable to stay where I am right now because it's easier. Would they be living a happy and fulfilled life? Fuck no. Would they be living a life of absolute abundance and growth and exploration? Absolutely not, because they've gone for the comfortable path. So kind of speaking already to this discomfort, Nico, how uncomfortable was it for you to make that decision? And since that decision, how has discomfort been present in your life?
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Amazing question. And just realizing now on the self-reflection that you offered to me, how connected it is to the question of today's topic, how connected it was to my decision in October 2012. So yeah, 11 years, just over 10 years ago now. I mean, the amount of discomfort that I just had to sit with in asking myself, am I ready to pack up my family, my friends, my parents, my business, my home, my everything that I had built in the 33 years of my life, this whole avatar, this whole story, that identity that I thought I was, this entrepreneur in Australia who, you know, had Greek roots and all of this, you know, mumbo jumbo that came with this story, is like, I need to literally say goodbye and cut it off, sell the house, sell the business, find a buyer, go through all of this. And then at the same time, it's like, and say to my parents, who, maybe this is a different topic on a different day, but showered me with so much love. I was in this cocoon of love growing up, and I didn't have wings to be myself. Again, another form of powerlessness that I had been raised with, or, you know, grown accustomed to. So in that decision, I had to thought, okay, not only do I need to cut off all that, which is difficult, but now I need to also, if I make this difficult decision, learn a new language, learn a new culture, learn a new everything for me to be able to, like, how am I going to start a business? I can't even speak Spanish. I don't have any Spanish friends. I knew one person on the island who ended up being my Spanish teacher. Because, you know, I was coming to Ibiza for 8 or 9 years before that, but it was basically the vicious triangle, the club, the beach, and the hotel, you know, every day it was the same thing. So the decision at the time was incredibly difficult. I recall even voicing the question to some of my friends, like, hey, man, what do you think? I'm thinking this. And the amount of ridicule and laughs and finger pointing that I got, it was like, Nico, Ibiza, like, what is wrong with you? Not you, you know, like, are you making the right decision? It's like, Ibiza, like, why Ibiza? If you wanted to go to London or New York, great, but Ibiza? And again, their response of London or New York was just more of this fear that we've grown up in a big city. We need a big city because a big city provides and is safe for us. And I think another part of that difficult decision, and again, this is just sort of channeling now coming through to me, was like, I was going to live for the first time in the campo, like in the fields. I was going to move away from big city living and living from in an apartment and living in, you know, suburbia with a neighbor on one side of my house, on the other side of my house. And, you know, I had to put a fence around my pools, and I only allowed to have 4 dogs in my house because that's the laws of the state of Australia at the time. So, like, with all of these, like, how am I to even think for myself without being spoon-fed all these rules and regulations in my life? So it was a very, very tough decision to make.
Wow.
That answered one of your questions, because then you sort of then followed on to ask me what has it been since here. And then since landing in Ibiza, it's just been, you know, the first few years is like, I don't want to make that tough decision because I'm more comfortable here. And it's like, for this very millisecond, yeah, but the second you sort of take that notion on, you know deep down that you're not more comfortable, and you're just creating a bigger hole for your future. And Miley just wants to say hello. And I think one of the things that supported me the most in every time I go to the discomfort, it's, I remember seeing my uncle. I'm sort of digressing here, but it'll make sense once I connect it. And my uncle was in his 70s, you know, and when he was in his 70s, I would have thought he was like 90 or 100 years old. He had so many physical diseases and disorders. Couldn't walk, he basically couldn't survive by himself at the age of like 74 or 75. And I was like, I remember asking my dad, why is Uncle John so, like, not, you know, able? And he's, he lived a toxic life, you know, cigarettes and gambling and smoking and that. And I was like, wow, okay, so the decisions I make now are really going to affect me in my future. I don't want to be like him when I'm 75 years old. So taking these decisions now that we say are uncomfortable or painful, because, like, brother, you know, and I see you and I get very inspired by your videos on doing the ice bath. Even this morning, I had hesitation. Again, it comes up every meal, whether it's a deep amount of resistance or a small amount, there's always resistance because it's, let's face it, it's not fucking comfortable to sit 3 minutes where the water is like 2.5 or 3 degrees. It can get quite uncomfortable, but it's building this tolerance to that pain, building this tolerance to being able to find comfort in the discomfort is this innate intelligence that we all have, men and women included, that allows us really to understand that the harder we fall, the deeper we fall, the longer, the happier journey is on the way back up.
Beautiful, beautiful. We go deeper so we can rise higher. That's really beautiful, man. Like, thank you for sharing that. And there's something really powerful you mentioned about ice baths as well. And, you know, it's like that big, why do you do these things? And why do you, I get that question, you know, like a man that facilitates ice bath and cold water immersions. You know, we've got a really big community of cold water swimmers here in Bristol. We run ice bath experiences over the summer. And people are like, you know, why do you do it? And I'm like, it's not about the ice. It's about doing the difficult thing. It's about doing the thing in which you don't want to do. Because what you're doing in those moments is you're stretching your coping mechanism to be more capable. And then you can apply that to other areas of your life. You know, it's not about doing the cold swim. It's about being there with people around you, supporting you to make a difficult decision. And how do you feel afterwards? You feel fucking great. You feel amazing. Oh. And that's it, isn't it? It's always like, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want this. Boom, I'm in the cold water. Okay, let's hyperventilate. Let's calm it down. Let's relax the nervous system. Oh, wow. Okay, a bit more discomfort. Guaranteed, without a doubt, the hundreds of people that come through our experiences, 99% come out in this joy, this exhilaration, this like, I can't believe I did that. That was amazing. That was joyful. And that's the medicine, isn't it? You know, when we talk about discomfort, it's not necessarily about the action in the moment. It's about the learning that you get from it. And like you said very well, you know, you had this time in Ibiza where you had all this difficult stuff that you had to cope with, leaving Australia, being in this new country. It was uncomfortable. And to this day, you're still a man that seeks discomfort through the ice, through other challenges. And, you know, and it's so beautiful. And what I'd love to maybe hear more around, Nico, is, what are other ways people can seek discomfort, you know, and why is it important? We kind of spoken to it briefly, but let's really dive into that and what that discomfort, how that discomfort might manifest in your life and how other people can manifest discomfort in their life.
So if I may share a really relevant story with my father. So the first 40 years of my life, the relationship with my father was superficial at best. 9 years, or it was about 8.5 years at the time that I had been gone from Australia when I realized this. And what I had realized was that every time I called my father, it was just to tick the box of, I called my dad this week, so he's going to be happy with me, because, you know, as a good child, as a good son, I gave a shit about him and I called. But really, when I checked in and I asked myself, it's like, I really didn't care how he was doing, as long as he was okay and he was surviving. You know, if he had a bad day or an emotional day, I mean, not that we had at that time the particular capacity in our relationship to share such things, but it wasn't so important for me, I guess, because we didn't have that capacity. And at the same time, it wasn't really the shares that I was, the information that I was sharing with him were just about the wins. You know, yeah, we're going to have a good season this year. And yeah, I was, you know, with a girl last month, a new girl, because, you know, he's always checking in. How's my single man now after you've ended your 13-year marriage? Because when we left Australia, we were still married. Mm. So it was very superficial. And then during my deep, deep dive, when I had my first real heartbreak at the age of 40, I was in my girlfriend for not so long, 5 or 6 months, and she decided to end the relationship. And I took that as the most devastating thing that could have ever happened to me. It all came out: loneliness, rejection, not abundant, non-worthy. It all came out for the first time in my life. I was like, wow, I need to cry. I need to scream. I need to allow this pain and this discomfort to come up, because if I don't, it shifted the capacity for me, my intellect, to understand this is not serving you anymore. What is serving you is to like actually feel that pain and go into it. go into the pain, go into the discomfort, because you can only do this for so long, like a waste bin. You can only put so much trash in it before it's going to come out. And I got to the tipping point and I couldn't anymore. So I was like, and I remember speaking to a friend and I said, like, I'm sad. For the first time in 40 years of my life, I spoke to a male friend and I said, I cry every single morning. With all of that, you know, fast forward a few months, that's when I realized this conversation with my dad, and the relationship rather with my dad. I was like, wow, you motherfucker, you bastard. Here you are feeling sorry for yourself because your girlfriend left you and you're facing all of these emotions, which I mentioned before. But how about thinking how your dad feels, the fact that you left the country 9 years ago and you've never once actually checked in with him? And I got that basically in the meditations, like, Nico, you need to call your father. You need to apologize, or at least let him know how you're feeling right now. Brother Leith, this was probably 100 times more difficult than me taking the decision to move to Ibiza. It was like, okay, I need to now sit on a video call for the first time in my life with my father and actually say to him, Dad, for whatever reason, and of course sharing the reason, we can't just have a normal phone call. We need to like actually jump on a video call. I need to see your face. I need you to see me. I have tears. I have a lot of things. And we're basically going to have to create together a new way of creating communication, because what I'm about to share, I've never done that with you before as my father, but I'm about to share my emotions. Mm-hmm. And he just stopped and looked at me like, are you okay? And I said, no, Dad, this is why I'm calling. This is going to be a very difficult conversation. I didn't even know how to start it. I'm literally speaking to my father, the man who brought me into this world. Like, I'm your seed and I'm nervous. I'm a nervous wreck because I don't know how to share myself. I don't even know how to share what I'm feeling about you, towards you. I'm completely lost, Dad. So please just understand at least where I'm coming from. That 2 or 3 minute introduction to the conversation, I was literally trembling, Leif. I was so scared. I did not know how he was going to handle it. I didn't know how he was going to respond. I didn't know if I had the capacity to follow through with what I was saying. But I knew that the relationship I had with my father was so superficial, and it just showed me of this pain that I was suffering from the abandoned feelings, that, you know, call it a girlfriend leaving you, call it your son leaving your country, it's the emotion is the same. The story can be completely different. And battling that emotion head on, fast forward 18 months, and I have the most amazing, 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 incredible relationship with my father. We're like really, really good friends now. We're like super good friends. He'll leave me a voice note, and just, he's never left voice notes for me before, and saying, son, thinking of you, love you, wishing you an amazing day, and I'm very, very proud of what you've become.
Oh, bro, my heart. Oh, so beautiful, man. Wow. Wow, thank you for sharing that. And like, those conversations with our parents, you know, like some of the hardest things that we have to have, and it's and with our loved ones.
Right.
Yeah, that was really beautiful, man, bro. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's given me this deep remembrance. I hadn't seen my father for 3 years when I saw him in October last year, because he lives in Istanbul, and when I was 3, he actually left. So I didn't speak to him for about 10 years, 3 to 13. And it was only when I was about 15, 16, I started to rebuild this relationship with him, because my stepfather at the time became a severe alcoholic. And he got very, very ill, and at a point got sectioned and had a restraining order against my mum. And actually at the end of 2019, I was studying in Barcelona, and I got a phone call to say that my stepfather had been found at the bottom of his stairs with high doses of alcohol and just completely out cold. In that moment, I'd lost my physical stepfather, but I'd felt like I'd lost him as a father a few years before that with alcoholism. After that experience, the rebuilding of the relationship with my actual father started to happen. And it's not a conversation for now, you know, it's a conversation in its whole self, you know, the father piece and that relationship with Menzo. But, you know, there was moments last year where like the last thing I wanted to do was have a conversation with my dad. You know, there was so much pain and sadness that I felt around him, around the inner child, which felt abandoned from him. And like that real wound around not having a father during those years, having a stepfather, but it's different, you know, like it's different. And Yeah, man, like just like resonating deeply with your story and just that feeling of, I remember having that conversation because I, as a man in that moment, had to make the decision, do I one day want to have children that have a relationship with their grandfather? Fundamentally, that is entirely my responsibility. Because if I do not heal the wounds with my father, my children will not have a relationship with their grandfather. And I did not have a relationship with either of my grandfathers on both my mother's and my father's side. Both of them, I did not know. I didn't meet my mother's father. He died when my mum was 14. And my father's father, very disjointed relationship, met him once between the ages of 0 and 10, and then he passed away. So I have this choice now as a growing man. Do we do the difficult thing, which is these very uncomfortable conversations with our parents at these times, and asking ourselves, can we be met? And I wonder, Nico, was there a feeling of what happens if my father doesn't meet me? Because I have that with men that I share with, because I feel very fortunate that I've been able to have those conversations with my father and be met. I'm met with a man that has been doing his work, that has been doing his healing work, that supports me, that texts me this morning. We're in conversation and I will be going to see him a lot more. But I recognize that men might not be met by their parents. What does that mean for them? Because that's really difficult. They want to do the work and they want their parents to meet them. That doesn't always happen, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't happen, and not in my case either. And I actually had a psychotherapist who supported me on this, and it was basically only a couple of weeks before me having those realizations of all the shame and guilt and all these emotions that I was feeling that actually, hey, this is how my father feels towards me. And in that moment, I realized that through the support that I had in the two or three sessions with this particular man, he said, "Nico, when I see you." When I see you at the gym, when I see you at the beach, when I see you as the Mr. Acai, as this identity that you created, you are so in your frocky hair, your unshaved beard, your bare feet. This is like you are just like a nature man, like you're a caveman, and you're doing that in several different applications, whether it's at at the beach or in your office, or this is how you present yourself to the world, and it's great and it's charming, and your ethos and your values are really shown through that. But then I see this man who then puts on this huge mask and pretends to hide all of that when he speaks to his parents because he's still suffering from this syndrome, call it the Mr. Nice Guy syndrome, call it whatever you want, that he is still longing for acceptance and loving from his parents. So you shift, you literally shift, you morph into a different person when you speak to your parents. Why is that? And I said to him, because they don't accept, they cannot, they don't have the capacity to accept me for who I am. He says, "That's where you're wrong. This is where you're wrong, and I'll tell you why you're wrong." He says, "Because you cannot make a decision on their behalf. They need to make a decision on yourself. Who are you to know what capacity they do or don't have when it comes to their heart? If you're only showing them your true, honest, integral self, you're only coming with love. The only way that they can receive that with love is with love. It might not happen overnight. It might take a month. It might take a few months. I'd say mine was February, then I came in like 4 or 5 months that journey was. But after 5 months, it's like, guy, I had basically trained myself. It's like, this is who I am. This is who I am to my parents, to my lovers, to my friends, to whoever was in my life. This is who I am, and accept me for who I am. So having that ability to answer the question, to having that ability to really own yourself, own your intuition, and own who the own a soul that resides inside, your parents can only meet you with that same amount of love, as long as it is integral and it's really resonating with how you want to show up as a human being every day.
That's so beautiful, man. It's difficult though, isn't it? It's difficult.
Wow.
It's difficult to be that embodiment of your truest essence, and I recognize and I'm on this path as well. And yet, I've got men and brothers and sisters in my community and in my network who have the fear of rejection from their families, from their communities about being their truest self. And that is what will lock a man. And just speaking to men because of our experience in men's work, but that was what that will lock a man in that, again, in that comfort zone, that
Right.
comfort zone, I'm happy with less zone. That I'm too scared to fully express zone. That place where they're not able to tap in to their true potential because it's easier for them to be the same person they were 10 years ago than actually embrace the change in which is inevitable. You know, there's that great meme where a caterpillar is looking at a butterfly and he goes, "You've changed." And the butterfly goes, "We're supposed to." And actually that idea behind transformation and embracing transformation. But at the same time, it's like, it's not always easy, is it? Because I know that I've been in there with fear. I was invited not too long ago back to go visit some friends from school. I've not seen some of these bros since eight, nine years. I was met with anxiety. I was like, oh, what are they going to think of me? You know, like, right. And actually, you know, I wasn't going to go. And I made the decision to go. And it was by far one of the greatest decisions that I had made, you know? Because I felt very fortunate. Those brothers, they saw me for who I am in this moment, you know, and they saw me. But I recognize that that's not always possible. So I'm wondering, how can a man who is seeking, who is growing, who is expanding, but maybe isn't ready to bring all of them to all areas of their life, what can support them? Because that's uncomfortable, you know. Maybe ice baths can support them, but what else can support them in allowing and giving them what they need so that if you're changing and evolving as a person, which is inevitable, how you can then show up in all the areas of your life as the evolved version of you?
Right. Amazing question. Again, all these questions that you're asking me, and I'm not just responding to the brothers who are listening, but this is exactly my story, and hoping that my story is going to touch or connect with one dot in, you know, in all the different men that are listening to this. I read a book called The Four Principles, and in one of the chapters it speaks about that as human beings, our brains are actually hardwired to by no means, as you can tell, am I recalling it correctly, but just the message or the takeaway that I got from this book was that we are so addicted to suffering because we are actually, because we understand what pain is going to, what that suffering is going to bring us. It's going to make us sad, moody, zero energy, tight in our bodies, whatever it is. We are addicted to that suffering. And what is making us feel that we need this suffering to continue is actually fear itself, and it's fear of the unknown. So although we know that the suffering is not our best friend, we are more inclined to keep that suffering with us and make it a part of us, as opposed to transcending above it. Because out here, if we're suffering here, it can only be better up here. Because it's unknown, we're actually more afraid of that, which is why we're sticking to the suffering part. So the support that I can give to all brothers is to understand, take time, go to nature, go to the beach by yourself, just sit with yourself every single day, 1 week, 1 hour a day, no phone, no nothing, no girlfriends, no friends, no work, no nothing. You need, if you cannot, in the 24 hours of the day, give yourself just 1 hour in 1 week, then we really have to understand it. Well, ask ourselves a question. Do I really want to become more optimal? If I really want to become more optimal, I need to apply, let's call it a 1 week test. So it's 7 days, 1 hour a day. And in that 1 hour a day, just sit with your mind. If you can't meditate, start to learn. If you can't sit, you know, in an exact position, you need to twitch, it's fine. It's getting into the practice of coming into what is coming up when I'm sitting by myself. What are the thoughts that are coming up? Why are they coming up? And understanding, going back to that thing that I said before about the suffering and the fear of the unknown, it's like we as men, especially, we are so fucking afraid of our greatest potential that we think that doing an ice bath every day or meditating every day or connecting with nature every day is not for us, and it's only for those select few people that get to write books and become authors or get to become sort of, you know, some sort of mentor in their life because they were just blessed. That's a load of bollocks. That is absolute load of bollocks. I think my answers are getting a little bit sort of disjointed and jumbled right now, but again, going back, the 7 days, the 1 hour a day is just your time to come back into yourself. And in that one time, it's then the time to ask yourself the questions like, what do I want in my life? You know, okay, am I going to start? Maybe I'm too busy and I've got children and a family and everything else, and I can't do a sauna and a meditation and an ice bath and connect with nature and move every day. I get that. But we need to have some sort of, you know, daily practice. And it's like, okay, what do I want? So if a brother, like you were saying, Leif, wants to, you know, quit his addiction to porn, or if he wants to quit smoking or alcohol or whatever it is, or if he wants to find himself new friends because he just can feel and resonate that his existing circle of friends aren't just meeting him anymore. He needs to go into that space and understand, okay, what can I do? What can, apart from asking myself and understanding that I would love to cross over, what can I do that is genuinely telling me you have the power and the capacity to break away from the suffering and to jump into this unknown, and have the self-faith and that trust in self that unknown is going to be so much better than the suffering. I hope that answered the question, because I realized I was sort of segueing but trying to come back in all the time.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. It's beautifully shared, brother. And I'm really just allowing it to flow. And what I'm really hearing is, for a man to go to war, they must learn how to spar. For a man to change his life, he must learn how to change the first hour of his day. We cannot build Rome without starting with a brick, you know? And actually, so with that in mind, it's like, okay, if we're going through change and we want to invite change in our life and we're feeling restricted, we can get overwhelmed with this. Okay, well, I need to change everything tomorrow. Oh, that hasn't worked, so now I give up.
Right.
You know, it's like, actually, like you said, okay, if we want to invite change into our life, how does that start with a few minutes? You know, let's invite a few minutes of breath, then an hour, then that. And then suddenly you've gone from someone with no practice to being able to have the capacity to do your morning workout, your ice bath, your session, your stretch. But that doesn't happen immediately. So it's about giving yourself the permission as a man or as a person, if you're inviting in change and you want to go to war, and what war might look like, you know, to use that phrase lightly, because I recognize that can be a touchy topic for many, including myself. So it's like, you know, going to battle with the inner gargoyles of ourself, you know, going and getting rid of the demons which exist inside of us. We need to understand, how do you make small incremental changes in our life? And that speaks to discomfort. Why do we do the 30 seconds in the ice bath? Why don't we start with a 15 second cold shower? Oh, that's difficult. Okay, you know, well, let's start there then. Sometimes it's about staging how we invite discomfort into our life so that then we are able to cope better with the stresses, which are inevitable, you know? The stresses are inevitable. And so it's such an interesting topic, isn't it? Like, how do you stage transformation? And I know that what I'd love actually is to, you know, maybe speak more about the work that you're bringing through at the moment, Nico, and, you know, how your journey, your story, the challenges of which you faced, and, you know, the badges in which you now hold from that, like, how is that now being a guiding force for others and also right. in yourself, you know, and what are the manifestations in which you're bringing through as the beacon of light that you are?
Thank you, my man. Thank you. Very humbling. So I answer that question first to say that the biggest thing that supported me on my journey when you were saying, it's like, how can I do all of this and every day, is like, one thing we have to realize is, like you said, Rome wasn't built in a day. We need patience.
Mm.
We need time to understand. It took us 30, 35, in my case, 40 years of, you know, they say that the mind gets up to 80,000 thoughts per day. I don't know if you have a calculator there, but 80,000 times 365 times 40 is a lot of fucking thoughts. So we cannot believe or think that that's it. I'm a new man and from now my whole life changes and everything is just like guns and rosy right now. It's like, come on, dude. There's like those millions of thoughts that we just calculated. We have to undo and we need patience. So the biggest thing that I bring in all my applications, I meditate daily. I connect. I walk barefoot in the nature daily. I'm connecting with my dog, Marley. We take a super long walk in the afternoons. I stare at the sun in the mornings, ice bath, I take a sauna, cold shower. Like, there's so many different applications, my food, my nutrition, my movement practice, so many different things that I do. And if there's one piece of information which I can help many brothers, and I have in the past, because it just really resonates with them, it's, have you ever been considered, and I ask you, Leif, now, have you ever been considered as someone who does things to extremes? It's like you're either doing it this way or all the way over, and you're going to do it this way. And there's sort of, there's no in between.
Definitely. I definitely have been. I definitely have been, yeah.
And when I ask that question to many men, 99.9% of the time, the answer is not just yes, but yes, completely yes. So if I'm to work in this place of this extremity, that it's either far, far left or far, far right, okay, I want my goal is to come back to center. And the easiest explanation that I can give to actually make sense is, at one time my osteopath, he was doing some checks on my body. He says, Nico, he's like, I think you're eating too much meat. Maybe you should reduce the amount of beef and lamb you eat and start to eat a little bit of seafood, like fish, because they have a colder temperature. So, you know, chemically, the liver doesn't need to work as hard to you know, over adjust for the additional heat, because the cow temperature is like 5 or 6 degrees warmer than the body. Da, 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 da. I was like, okay, I'm gonna quit beef and just eat fish. And in that moment, I realized it. It's like, I'm trying to come into a place of tranquility from here in this craziness of, you know, bum, 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 bum. I cannot bring that energy if I want to find this peace. If I bring that energy, all I'm going to do is stay there or come past and shift over here. So really need to come back in with patience and trust that this is going to happen. And, you know, maybe I'm only meditating for 2 minutes a day. Maybe I can't do more than 40 seconds in an ice bath. But if you try, and if you are disciplined, and you do the work every single day, and you really, from your heart, you really want to do this, guess what? You're going to start to manifest the right people or the right podcast or the right whatever it is at that moment to get you from 40 seconds to a minute in the ice bath, or from 3 minutes to 10 minutes, and from 10 minutes to 30 minutes in a seated position of meditation. This is how our hearts work. You know, they're expanding with so much love and conscious awareness, but at the same time, they're really, really attracting what needs to come in. Patience and this space of tranquility, like try to stop the extremities. That's one piece of information which really, really, really resonates with many men that I share it, and hopefully also turn out.
Mic drop moment. That was beautiful, bro. I've got shivers down my spine. How beautifully articulated and shared. And yeah, wow. Thank you so much, bro. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I feel like, yeah, we've been on a beautiful journey in this conversation. And I think you just really encapsulated it so well in that moment. And it's yavash, yavash, we say in Arabic, which is slowly, slowly, which right. is so everything will happen when it's supposed to, you know, yavash, yavash, patience, bit by bit. And things will transform, things will change. 1% every day is 365% in a year, you know.
Right.
That is just absolute transformation, hey? Beautiful.
If you could sign a piece of paper now to have a 365 positive change in your life, I mean, how many signatures would we receive? Tons and tons and tons.
Absolutely. And there's that crazy statistic about the effect of, if you were to get £1 a day versus if you would get £1 doubled every day, but just compound as well, right? The power of compound. Today, 15 seconds. Tomorrow, 1 minute. Tomorrow, 1 minute, 10 seconds. Just compound effect, you know? And actually, Daniel Hardy, Compound Effect, great book all around the power of just incremental changes.
Right.
Every single day will make a lifelong transformation. Nico, what I feel like really closing this with is, what tools and resources can you recommend to anyone listening to this who is looking to understand how they can seek more discomfort, or how they can invite more discomfort into their life, or how they can actually just invite growth and transformation? What tools and resources? And then also, I'd love to just get a quick overview of what you're bringing through in Ibiza as well.
So the first part of the question, the answer would be to ask yourself, have the understanding with meditation, we start to, you know, which is why I'm like, first answer meditation. Like, we need to really get into the space of shutting off the mind and just understanding what it means, the actual definition of embodiment. So let's get out of our heads and let's come into our bodies. What does it actually mean to be embodied? What does that mean? So it's like the next time you're going to eat a plate of hot chips, or the next time you're going to smoke a cigarette, you know, in both those occasions, that if you eat the chips, you're going to feel like shit after. If you eat, smoke the cigarette, you're going to say, shit, you know, I'm one cigarette further away from actually quitting. Mm-hmm. Each decision that we make, there is intelligence, information that is coming up. It's like my body feels well or my body doesn't feel well. And if my body doesn't feel well, example, the hot chips or example, the cigarette, stop and ask yourself, should I be doing this? Should I be continuing to do this? Your mind is going to want to say yes, because it's covering the shadow, and the shadow is like, yes, let's just stay in this beautiful space that we're in. No, we need to really go into that space of, am I doing myself justice? No, I'm not. Mm. And that's what we need to ask ourselves as much as often a day. So your food, your relationships, your relationship to movement practice, if you have one, to your family, to your children, to your dogs, if you have some, to your time alone. It's like we need to ask ourselves in every single moment, what is my body telling me? Is this right for me? And if there is a little bit of discomfort or pressure in a certain part of your body, and it's not flowing well, that's your answer. And then the hardest part is to take that answer and say, okay, I'm going to use this to go into the discomfort of not eating these chips, or of, you know, working with this craving that I have of having a cigarette. It's as Rumi says it, the wound is where the light enters. Mm. You know, and it's like that's where all this information of growth is coming from. We have to ask ourselves, is this next decision that I'm going to do advantageous for the person that I want to become?
Mm. Wow. Powerful stuff, man. Really powerful stuff. Talk to us more about the men's program you're bringing through in Ibiza, if you feel like touching on that.
Absolutely. So it's I live in Ibiza, but the truth is the platform that I'm creating is going to be online, so it's for as many brothers as possible. English speaking, of course. I do speak Greek, I do speak Spanish, but I'm neither confident in enough of those spaces to really get intimate and confident and in a safe container with men. So right now I'm offering one-on-one coaching for men. And it's basically, I have a discovery score like most coaches, but the first question I ask, well, there's two questions, is A, are you ready to make a change? And if you are, why? Like, what is it in your life that is proving, you know, these certain things that make you want to change and reaching out to me? And the second thing is, do you see that you have shame and guilt that are castrating you as a male? And if I ask that question straight up, because the sooner us men, we get to understand that we are suffering from shame and we are suffering from guilt, and these are literally castrating us as our potential to be a man, this is what really makes it a quick breakthrough for them to really like, okay, I want to work with Nico and I really want to like understand what it is that I can do to become a more optimal version of myself. Mm. So in the 8 weeks of coaching, there is meditation, there is movement practice. I'm so passionate about food and nutrition, so there's a whole deep dive in there. Sleep is another incredible one as well. What we need to do from the second, literally from the first moments of our day that we wake up, which is actually going to be setting ourselves and our circadian rhythm up for the sleep ahead. So it's basically all these different physical applications, which all sit underneath the umbrella of mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And the mindfulness being around, okay, I don't want to feel powerless anymore. I want to feel as strong as I can. So that's one program that I offer in April. So in next month, in just over a month from now, I'm hosting the first official Bare Nickel retreat. Again, same questions. If you're ready to make a change, and if you really want to release shame and guilt that has been, you know, dragging us around life, come. We're going to celebrate life, because living in Ibiza is purely a daily celebration, whether it's the nature that we have, the sun, the sea, the people, the activities. So we're going to have fun. We're going to eat in our ancestral ways. I've done about 11, 12 years of deep dive rabbit hole journeying of all the different diets. I even founded a keto company 2 years ago, hence the name Keto Nico. And I, not that I'm following the keto journey now, but over having 12 years of a deep dive into different foods. It's like, okay, accessing our intuition and understanding. The only reason we're here today is because of how our ancestors used to eat and how they used to live. And this is why we're here today. So I'm bringing that form of my evidence-based research into the programming as well. And finally, I'm doing a free online men's circle. So it's every Wednesday at 7 p.m. You can click on the link to join a WhatsApp group, and then sort of like, not daily, I'm a little bit lazy at the moment, the truth, but maybe more weekly memes and just sort of like memes and reports to people on seeing how they're checking in. But every Wednesday, it's just a free online space, and it's going to shift a lot, this men's circle, because it hasn't been given the love and the attention that I need. But I really want to use it as a tool to communicate to guys, like, if you're scared to make that decision, but if you sort of feel that there is a little bit of shame and guilt, the easiest and the most effective way for you as a brother, for you as a man, to be able to release that is to look at the eyes of another man. Because when you look at that man, you can see yourself in that man. And when you look at that man, you're not looking at a female. It's very easy for us to sort of come into our feminine space and share something vulnerable with a lady, but sharing something vulnerable with another brother whom you know has also suffered from you is the key to the initial part of releasing this shame and releasing this guilt. So that's the third product, which is a men's circle, which, like I said, is going to shape a lot more in the next month or so, because I really want it to be like a clear message. Guys, come, and it's an hour. I mean, join for the first 30 minutes, but just sit there, listen to what I have to share, listen to what all the other brothers have to share. And all you may have to do is just listen to one person share his vulnerability, or, you know, his story of premature ejaculation, or his wife doesn't want to sleep with anymore. And that's all you need to understand. Wow, I don't need to suffer in isolation anymore. There's other men that are also suffering. This is huge. I feel that we could be speaking for hours, because I'm so passionate about this topic. And again, it all goes back to my story. I suffered many, 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 many years as a man who had no idea what it meant to be man. And I'm no fucking guru. I haven't even made my journey. I'm only 41 years old. If I live for another 40 or 50 years, I'm going to be learning more every single day.
Niko, brother, you're an inspiration, honestly.
Thank you, bro.
Wholeheartedly. Thank you for being such a beautiful embodiment. And I knew that the moment I met you, I really see you and what you're bringing through the immersions, the men's work retreats, your relationship with food as well, your embodiment of, you know, the greatest change we can be is by being the light we wish to see, you know. And you, my friend, are the light in which you wish to see. You are an acting example of someone who wants to make the world a better place. Why? Because you're doing it in your own life every day. And that imprint, brother, is fucking huge. You know, because by being an example in the way that you are, people that just have the gift of interacting with you, such as myself, are inspired. You know, we're met, we're seen as well, you know, as a man that also has big aspirations. And so, bro, I see you. So thank you so much. For those listening, how can they keep in touch with you and make sure to keep up to date with all the stuff that you're doing and bringing through?
The easiest thing right now is Instagram, and it's Bare Niko, just like barefoot. So Bare_Niko. Brother Leif, thank you so much for your amazing words. Thank you so much for reaching out, for doing what you're doing. I'm really interested and honored to be number three of what I hope is many, 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 many more to come in the future. I myself, I just love reaching out with like-minded men. I actually love the fact that your previous one, so number two for you, was with a girl. I think this is incredible. This is powerful, because like I shared recently on my Instagram, we're not doing this for men. We are doing this for mankind. And I mean that with every single cell in my body, because our vision is for all of humanity to raise consciousness. And let's do this understanding our male blueprint. And thank you for all your words, man. It just gives me more motivation and inspiration to continue to be that light that I want to be. And it's like, you know, once we open this window, it's like, it doesn't close anymore. I sort of opened this window, which had these certain hinges on it, which don't go backwards. So now that it's open, it's here. It's like, I'm exposed, which is why I call myself Bare Niko. I'm bearing everything that I am, my heart, my soul, my love, my intuition, my wisdom, whatever you want to call it. And it just puts such an amazing smile on my face to meet other incredible, like-minded people like yourself, brother. Thank you.
Thank you so much, brother. Thank you. Thank you. That was episode 3 of Life with Leif. And as Niko shared, And here's a little insight. Every other week, we're going to do a man and then a woman, because that's a big part of my vision.
Right, okay.
Is to bring through both masculine and feminine codes. Next up, we've got an incredible woman, but you're going to have to stay tuned to find out who that is.
Oh, brother.
But for now, this one is at a close. Thank you, Nico. Thank you so much. So much love for all that listened, tuned in, and we're here for this.
Appreciate it. Ciao, my man.
Peace.